Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show here in Columbus brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. And what's terrific about them is that they're full service, and to them, everyone is important. You're not a number to them. You have a claim, they're on it in seconds. They give you the best insurance at the best price every time. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Everyone dig out?
Well, I think so, anyway. Kevin, I think I did. Bob, did you get all dug out? Bob Buhner joining us. We'll get him turned on here in just a minute, as a matter of fact, with that switch in the back, Bob. There should be a switch right there that should light everything up.
How's that?
There you go.
I'm here, Steve Jones.
There is nothing, Bob Buhner, more exciting than hearing on-air instructions.
I love it. It's the best part of my day.
Okay. Here we go. This is how we turn on the equipment. And now everybody out there knows the secret that we didn't want to give out.
It's a power switch.
Bob's great to have you here. Nathan Davis today.
Oh, good.
Will be on the show. We're gonna talk to Bob about the ruling last week dealing with Tim Curley, Graham Spanier, Gary Schultz, and charges dismissed. How it came about, why it came about, and then moving forward, we're gonna tap into Bob's area of expertise. We're gonna tap into Kevin's area of expertise.
That could be a numerous things.
I didn't know the Indianapolis 500 was coming up so soon.
Well, media days in 2 weeks. So,
oh, is that for the season?
Yeah, media day comes up at the beginning of February.
Hey, Steve, you're out in Columbus, Ohio.
When's the first race?
When's the first race?
When's the first race?
End of March.
Yeah,
Steve, you're out in Columbus. Have you had a chance to go see the Jack Nicklaus Museum?
When Jack Hamm and I went past the Jack Nicklaus Museum in October, I said, I want to go over and see it. But, I mean, if this were a weekend game, I would. But when you have shoot-around, you have to get the pregame show done, you got several hours of talk radio you have to do and then leave right away, people don't realize you don't have time to do certain things. And it's right next to Value City Arena. I'd love to go over sometime, but it's not going to be on this trip. It's interesting, because I talked to Jack about an hour and a half ago, so that means Kevin, he won't be calling during today's show.
All right, that's good to know.
just so you know. And the last time we were here was in October. And we left, it was an 8 o'clock game, and we left the hotel at 4 o'clock. Jack had his car, and we drove over. Well, we left at 4 o'clock to be on the air at 6:30. We got to Lane Avenue. We come down 315, and the exit that we want to take, of course, is blocked. We're like, this isn't good. The second exit, that was the backup exit that they had listed on the back of the parking pass, that was also blocked. We thought, that's not good. So we swing down past the shot. Now we're north of it, which means we have to double back to get back to where we want to go. We finally get to Lane Avenue about, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're in good shape. We're on the air in an hour and a half, and the stadium's right over there. We are crawling on Lane Avenue past the shot. Past St. John Arena. Finally get past the Blackwell where I'm staying right now. And I said, the Blackwell's coming up. not turn up there. I know that the Ohio State football team stays. He goes, oh. I said, we're going to have to go up to Neal Avenue or High Street, one of the two, and we're going to have to double back. He goes, okay. Well, we crawl our way past there. We crawl past Neal Avenue. We get to High Street. When we get to High Street, it's, I don't know, it must be about 5:45, and all the team buses go flying down the street. Like, the tunnels are like, oh, this is just great. The team's there. We aren't. We watch them go by. So finally, we doubled, finally got on the high, and we're going nowhere fast. And the two of us are like, you've got to be kidding me. Needless to say, Jeff Tarman's doing okay. Roger Corey is in mass panic.
He's now turned to jello.
All right. And we finally get to the corner outside the hotel here, on the opposite side of the hotel now. We're on the opposite side of the hotel. So we're now closer to the stadium. And it's blocked. And the police officer directs us to the right. And I said, we can't do this. And we made a right, and there was another police officer standing right there. I said, Jack, roll the window down. I said, we can't do this. And he said, okay. I rolled the window down. I said, look, we're the Penn State broadcast team. I said, we left the hotel at 4 o'clock. We've been sitting on Lane Avenue since 5. I said, we're on the air in 25 minutes. And he says, well, geez, based on how we're going to direct you, you're not going to get there. He said, so desperate measures call for desperate times. I said, okay. He yells out. He goes, broadcast guys, let them through. He yells it out, right? They open up all these things. We go down. We make a left on Cannon. We're in the parking lot. We walked in. Now, we think we walked in at 10 after, quarter after 6. Jeff says we walked in at 20 after 6. But we got there.
Cutting it close.
But in all sincerity, one police officer with common sense who understood and got it allowed us to get through. And, you know, he says, you guys aren't going to make it. I'm like, okay, well, you know that.
Well, he must have been a Steelers fan. Well, anyway, Steve, the Jack Nicklaus Museum in October, when you were out there, I was there as well, and we stopped in. What a fabulous place. I'm not a golfer, but man, oh, man, oh, man, is it awesome. Every medal that Jack Nicklaus or a trophy or award that he won from about third grade on is in the museum with video highlights of great moments, et cetera, et cetera. It is stunning for sports fans.
Well, anybody who had his career would have lots of video highlights.
Oh, my gosh. And
we have a major announcement coming up on WKOK. Kevin will have that for you when we come back in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We have a major announcement to make here on WKOK, and what I consider to be an extremely exciting announcement, something I've been hoping for on the station for a long time, and I think it's going to benefit all parties involved. And now to make this announcement, we now bring in... Oh, I'll just make it myself. All right, we're going to... go ahead.
You know,
go ahead, Kevin.
For years,
this is your baby. Go ahead.
For years, I grew up listening to baseball.
We're out of time. All right, so it took too long.
For years, I grew up listening to baseball on WKOK when I could, all sorts of times of the day or night, and it was always Harry Callis's voice that I would listen to for Phillies baseball, and I became a huge Philly fan because of Harry Callis and my friends that were all Phillies fans, and many of them listened to WKOK. Well, now, as of this spring training, WKOK will again be your home for Philadelphia Phillies baseball. So the Phillies are returning to WKOK in March with spring training for a full season of baseball. We're very excited about this. There's going to be a lot more coming in information in the coming days, and we're going to have a lot of Phillies guests coming on in the next couple of weeks as well to get you all set for spring training and the debut of the new home for the Philadelphia Phillies and the Susquehanna Valley News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I think if you're going to be a really, really good sports station, you have to have really good play-by-play sports anchors on there. And I think between Penn State football, Penn State basketball, Shikellamy football, Shikellamy basketball, and then there's that one area that we didn't have covered, and that was baseball. Now by having the Phillies, we have a year-round play-by-play sports anchor on the station, and I think that's what makes it. Any great sports station has to have that kind of anchor, whether it would live play-by-play sports to then go with the other programming that leads to it. That's exactly what we have. So Kevin will have lots of Phillies guests on. He'll be lining them all up.
Well, I know you were talking about
that day as Ryan. Can't wait for that day as Ryan Howard on.
Well, you were talking. You were talking last week, Steve, about
can't wait for that day when Kevin lines up that one. Go ahead, Kevin, you have a couple questions for him.
Yeah,
go ahead, let's talk about the day blew your kid off in the autograph line.
Let's start with the Red Barons. Well, you talked about this last week about getting in touch with Chris Wheeler again. Chris Wheeler actually has talked to us many times about listening to Phillies baseball on WKOK coming home from State College and from Penn State. So the heritage is definitely there as far as he's concerned. And, of course, there are a lot of other connections with the Phillies. Andy Musser, I believe it was his grandmother that actually lived in Milton. And he spent some summers with his grandmother in Milton and listened to Phillies baseball on WKOK for years before being an announcer.
Andy often talked to me about how great the Shikellamy football broadcast sounded.
I think that was before I started doing them, but I'm sure they sounded good then, too.
I grew up in Danville listening to Byron Salm on WKOK do the Phillies way back when.
Yeah, there's a lot of heritage, and it's nice that after 80-plus years of being a fixture in the Susquehanna Valley, we can bring one of the most important fixtures of our heritage as well back to the Susquehanna Valley, and that's Phillies baseball.
And keep in mind, too, there's also Bucknell football and basketball on Eagle 107, and the Eagles are on Eagle 107, so it's about as full service gets sports-wise.
And you know, Steve, speaking of Bucknell basketball, tonight they're home against Lafayette. Tip-off 7 o'clock at the Soika.
Yeah, and we'll have Nathan Davis on to talk about that. Looking forward to that. Then we're going to get into some in-depth conversation with you as well.
Okay.
About rulings last week and get your perspective, which is, I think, sorely needed by everybody because you can talk about things. You do a great job of speaking about legal issues without using legalese. I don't know what did he just say? And I always appreciate that very much. And Kevin, I thought you handled the big announcement really well. I mean, You kind of did like a Bob Picozzi Sports Center where you kind of did this long preamble to like you finally got to the point.
It's all about the buildup.
Okay.
It's about the buildup.
No, I'd rather just get to the point. Look, we got the Phillies on starting this year.
End of discussion.
Okay.
Talk about anticlimactic. There you have it.
It's a thrilling announcement.
Oh, guess what? Okay, you want to get to the part they want to hear.
Know thy audience.
Kevin, I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, I'm sure your childhood was adorable, but
it was, actually, come to think of it. Yeah.
And, of course, Steve, we want to hear from you about this Ohio State-Penn State game tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up because it's an interesting game in a lot of ways. This is it's a Monday night game, and what the Big Ten is trying to do, look, the key is, we just talked about programming with the Phillies, which will be so important, having them on every night, being able to promote them on the show every single day. I mean, that's going to be terrific. I talked to Dave Montgomery at the Plustra, in fact, when I was down for the Drexel game. Not a big Kevin fan, but but we'll smooth that over.
Has he met him yet?
Just kidding, Kev. What, me?
Okay, no.
It's all about rep. And when you the game tonight is part of an experiment by the Big Ten, which they started last week with Purdue Rutgers, of getting a Monday night time slot for games. Because it's a night that doesn't have, once Monday Night Football is over with, there's a programming void out there. So this is part of it. Now, I think there's part of it that's actually great. That's, for example, Penn State played Thursday night, as did Ohio State. Neither team played over the weekend. So you essentially do get the weekend off, which is great. You're playing this Monday night, and you don't have to play again until Saturday when you're playing at Madison Square Garden. So they'll play tonight against an Ohio State team whose margin of error has dramatically changed. And because of that, that makes the dynamic, because Penn State's margin of error still isn't great yet. It'll improve as time goes. But both teams are really in the same boat, and we'll see how it plays out tonight. It should be an interesting game between the two. It'll be 6:30 and then on at 7 this evening. And Bucknell plays, Lafayette tonight at home.
Yeah. And the Patriot League doing the same thing as the Big Ten Network by going to a Monday night game. They have one game that will be running on another network that I won't mention because I'd rather have our local fans go over to Soica to watch it. But the Patriot League is doing exactly what the Big Ten Network is doing and finding programming for Monday nights. But it does throw off the schedule.
But here's the bottom line on sports for football and men's basketball that people need to understand. Football and men's basketball are now TV shows. Okay, they're TV shows. So now you go to the time slot that you're assigned to for your TV show. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. That's where things are with television today. Now, how's television going to look even 5-10 years from now, especially with all the cord cutters across the country? I don't know. ESPN has lost 8.7 million subscribers over the last 3 years or so. John Skipper, the head of ESPN, had to go to Wall Street and pull a Kevin Bacon and tell everybody all was well. Even though Disney has lost $32 a share on their stock, and Disney's lost $32 per share in its stock, at a time where Star Wars should be forcing that stock up and out. And they lost $32 a share.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They've given Kevin another great Sunbury Motors vehicle to drive.
Yeah, we're driving a 2016 Ford Escape this week, and that's because Sunbury Motors is going to knock $1,750 off the sticker price right off the bat. Then you can get a $1,250 factory rebate. Or if you have a trade, and here's the deal. If you are in problems with your trade and or your vehicle and you need to upgrade your vehicle, this is the opportunity you don't want to miss. $1,750 SMC discount right off the top. Then $2,000 trade assistance, but you do have to have a trade that's a 1995 or newer. That shouldn't be a big deal for most people. 0% financing for up to 60 months and 1.9% financing for 72 months. And if you're not interested in a 2016 all-wheel drive Escape, and after this past weekend, why wouldn't you be interested in one of those? But if you'd rather have a Focus or Fusion sedan, a 16 Fusion is available with the trade assistance, and the 15 Focus is available with the trade assistance as well. From Sunbury Motors Ford, North 4th Street in Sunbury.
And how does that go in the snow again, Kevin?
What's that, the Escape?
Yeah.
There's a reason they call it Escape. You can escape from any snowdrift you're in.
Is that because you're the driver? Or
no, it's because
general?
It's all-wheel drive. As a matter of fact, when they were gassing it up and cleaning it up, we drove it through a snowdrift just to show that you could get through the snowdrift.
Wow, that's impressive.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay, Bob, we're going to try and get Nathan Davis in here at some point. Let's get into what happened last week with Graham Spanier, Tim Curley, and Gary Schultz. Exactly what did the court, I think it's the Superior Court,
it is the Superior Court.
Exactly what did the Superior Court do and why?
Well, let me just back up by saying that years ago now, Graham Spanier, the president of Penn State, Tim Curley, athletic director, and Mr. Schultz, the vice president for finance and administration, along with one Joseph Paterno, were given subpoenas to appear in front of a Pennsylvania grand jury hearing what became known as the Sandusky case. Joe Paterno decided he did not want or need a lawyer, that he would testify and truthfully and answer any questions without legal counsel. However, President Spanier, the athletic director, and the vice president had with them in the grand jury and before a lady by the name of Cynthia Baldwin, who was a lawyer, a judge, had been chairman of the Board of Trustees at Penn State, and then became the chief legal counsel to Penn State University. It was represented to the grand jury that Ms. Baldwin was there and allowed to enter the grand jury room, Steve, because she was counsel to each of those three individuals. And in fact, when they went in to testify and answer questions from the prosecutors in front of the grand jury, she was there. Later on, Ms. Baldwin testified herself in front of the grand jury and related conversations that she had with each of the three individuals, which made it appear to some on the grand jury that what the three had testified to individually and separately had actually been perjury, because she was able to come in and say, no, that's not the truth. They told me something different than what they said in front of the grand jury. So there were felony charges of perjury labeled against each of the three. Well, the argument by the three Penn State administrators was, that is attorney-client privilege. We thought and believed that she was our lawyer and was represented as our lawyer. And because she was our lawyer, anything she said is confidential and what we call privileged, which means it can't be divulged. But Ms. Baldwin, I think, in an effort perhaps to avoid herself getting into trouble, testified. So it went to the local judge down in Dauphin County, the trial judge. And after hearings and testimony, he ruled that there was no attorney-client privilege, that actually Ms. Baldwin was representing Penn State University and not the three individuals, so there was no attorney-client privilege as to all three, or to each of the three. Well, that was argued some time ago in front of the Pennsylvania Superior Court, which is the first-level court where all criminal appeals go. And in a 67-page opinion, by a panel of three of the Superior Court judges, it was a unanimous decision that said, whoa, this is classic attorney-client privilege, that Ms. Baldwin was represented to the judge, was introduced by the prosecutors, and most importantly, it was the belief of the three individuals testifying that she was there as their lawyer, and that attorney-client privilege is one of the sacrosanct principles in our whole legal system, and that her testimony as to what was said by her clients or apparent clients was completely thrown out. And as a result of her testimony not being available to be used, then many of the most serious charges against each of the three individuals were dismissed by the court. And that would include conspiracies, felony perjury charges, and leaving essentially each of the three defendants with only two charges. One would be endangering the welfare of children, and the second would be failure to report child abuse. So it really knocked the guts out of the prosecution, the Commonwealth's case against each of the three individuals.
Okay. Now, my understanding was there was still one perjury charge
against Tim Curley.
But that was because when they went to appeal, they did not appeal that charge. That's why it wasn't.
Yeah, there was a mistake there, but I think that can be corrected. And I think it will go away because all the other ones went away. But it's a procedural matter. And interestingly enough, Steve, the two charges that each of the three is still being charged with and defending is called endangering welfare of children. and the failure to report child abuse. There's a real serious question, and I spoke about it with you on the show years ago, as to whether those three individuals in their official capacities as Penn State administrators were required to report that child abuse. Because the law at the time the offenses allegedly occurred, 1999, 2002, whenever that period of time was, the statute was much different. The law, criminal law, was much different than it is today. It did not include within its purview people that were in a supervisory capacity. So, and that just was decided in a priest abuse case from the city of Philadelphia. So, and that was decided in the interim.
Bob, is this a case, Bob, where statute of limitations may come into play to drop the other charges?
The statute of limitation also was changed recently, and it's up in the air whether you can retroactively change a statute of limitation and make it greater now than it was at the time of the event. That again, all issues that are going to have to be decided. So the one thing important to stress is that none of this affects Jerry Sandusky's conviction, his trial, his sentencing, nothing to do with any of that. Mr. Sandusky will stay in jail for a long, long time. But I think it's huge now, vindication. I've always felt, Steve, that this attorney-client privilege issue, when it got really to the appellate courts that would think this over and understand the implications of it, would decide exactly as they did.
When it comes to, what's the avenue to get any other charges dropped?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure at this point procedurally, because I think what we're waiting to see is, where does the case go next? The Attorney General's office, which is prosecuting the case, has its own serious issues to deal with, like an attorney general who doesn't have a license to practice law. And because she can't practice law and do legal things, I don't know that she can participate in any conversations or discussions as to procedurally what to do. It may be left to some of her senior administrators. However, there are basically three choices that the Attorney General has with this decision. The first choice is to ask the entire Superior Court, all 15 judges, in essence, they'll probably do 9 of the 15, to do what is called an en banc, meaning the whole group, all of them, to hear the case as opposed to just this panel of three judges. In other words, get the broader view, if possible.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, they could appeal it to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Interesting with that court, there's all kinds of fighting going on between some judges on the Supreme Court, the Attorney General. There are now just elected in January three new justices on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So they're back to full complement in one sense, but one of the justices, Justice Aiken, he has been suspended in relationship to the Attorney General and the email situation. So they could go there and ask for the Supreme Court to make a definitive ruling. That's a possibility. The other thing they could do, probably the least likely, is, okay, we've heard what the Superior Court says. Now we're going to trial down in Dauphin County. So it's fascinating right now.
Here's the next part. This will be difficult to answer as well. But if you have a case where you look at it and now you say to yourself, even if it's over time, that you feel it's potentially falling apart. You've been in this position before where you feel it's falling apart and you're not sure about your odds of winning it. Do you, as a district attorney, as a prosecutor, want that off your plate because you don't think you can win it?
Well, if you believe as a prosecutor that you do not have probable cause to go forward with a case, you are duty-bound and obligated under the Code of Professional Conduct and the special rules of conduct for prosecutors to dismiss the charges. You have an absolute ethical obligation to do that. And I would say this. The facts of the case are really not in dispute. It's the legal principles, like attorney-client privilege. So that's been resolved initially. the other issue of this, the change in the statute to make supervisory officials also responsible for the charge of endangering the welfare of children, as opposed to the person who actually did it, happened after the facts occurred back in 2002. So that's another legal issue. But you have an attorney general who is supposed to make the call on these, and she can't. And then you also have the fact that it's an election year for an attorney general, and she's been talking about running for re-election, which is rather unusual or unique. And she may want to go for political purposes to keep pushing forward, knowing that she won't be around next year in 2017 when this case, will, if appealed to the Superior Court, will be going to trial. So it's just caught up in the worst scenario. Pennsylvania politics, legal principles that the public really doesn't clearly understand because they don't get to hear these things every day. And there's going to be outrage on all sides. People would think if the attorney general dismisses the charges because there's nothing there anymore because of these legal principles, many people would blame her. But they don't know the law. Other people would say that's what she should do because that is the law. It's where this comes out, Steve, is anybody's guess right now. It couldn't be a worse worse scenario than you can imagine or create than what we have right now in Pennsylvania with the attorney general's office. The principal prosecutor, Frank Fina, who was really criticized for bringing Ms. Baldwin to testify, knowing it was attorney-client privilege, he's no longer in the attorney general's office. The key prosecutors that stayed on under Kathleen Kane as handling the case, many of them have resigned or moved on. So I don't even know that they have a sufficient group of career prosecutors that are available and talented enough and familiar enough with this case to go forward either. It's a mess.
All right, Bob, thanks for explaining it. I appreciate it very much, and so does the audience. At least it gives everybody some clarity as to where it stands right now. We'll come back this day in sports history after the top of the hour play-by-play call of the day, then more of the Kevin Herr memo. It's a beauty today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
I'm Tim Weiser. It's Weiser Orchard Partners. We're in York Springs, Pennsylvania. We grow about 140 acres of fruit, about 20 acres of vegetables, have a retail farm market, and my wife and I have a wholesale greenhouse business. We've been here since 1935. My grandfather started it. My father was in, and now my brother and I are here. We have the minimum crop insurance here on our apple crop, on our cherry crops. We basically insure our main crops, and corn and beans, we have insurance on them too if it's a drought year.
Now, more than ever, each producer is personally responsible for developing a crop insurance and NAP-based risk management plan for their farms before the enrollment deadline. Contact your FSA office or crop insurance agent and set up a meeting, because this time, it's your responsibility to develop a plan that protects against the next disaster before the March 15 deadline. For more information, visit cropinsurancepa.com.
Sponsored by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, Governor.
Join the discussion about news, sports, and more by following News Radio 1070 WKOK on Facebook. You'll get breaking news updates, plus stories where you can weigh in with your opinions. Follow the news and let your voice be heard. Plus, win prizes on our Facebook-only contests. Follow us on Facebook today and join the discussion with News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to get back there to the ballpark lights? I got to see the Phillies. What a beautiful sight.
You're home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Time now for this day in sports history. 1924, the first Winter Olympic Games, also known as the Winter Olympic Festival, inaugurated in Chamonix in the French Alps. 16 countries sent 294 athletes to compete in five sports and 13 events, and all of Kevin's relatives were in attendance.
I love the Olympics. Yeah, I would be there if I could. Did they have this at the time in 1924?
No, they had peace and serenity. 1981, the Oakland Raiders beat the Eagles 27-10 in Super Bowl 15. Raiders won the Super Bowl, entering the playoffs as a wild card team. The first official wild card team to win the Super Bowl, but actually the second ever to win as a non-division winner. The first was the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl IV. Giants beat the Broncos, Super Bowl 21-39-20. That was the Phil Simms game in 1987, where Simms was 22-25 passing in the game. Broncos beat the Packers 32-31-24. That was the Terrell Davis game that he was so outstanding in. Elway finally broke through and won. Davis, in a playoff game, ran for more than 3.9 yards a carry, which helped the Broncos win. It's amazing when that happens. Let me guess, Bob. Kevin's rolling his eyes.
He's got the look, the "I told you so" look, and he's just
no. The "I knew that was coming."
Oh, I knew
that's,
that was coming.
Yeah, that's
look.
What it was.
Yeah, here up in the broadcast studios.
That's what great playoff performers. That's what great playoff performers do, Kev. They come up big in the big games.
Yep.
Hall of Fame. Okay. Don't care anymore.
Yeah, Kevin's family was in the bobsled competition back in 24, I think.
Hey, those things were wicked dangerous, man. Yeah. Did you see some? I've seen some of the video from the bobsled run.
Have you seen the old? You ever see the old tape of that stuff?
Yes. Oh.
I mean, there's no way any sane person would get on that thing.
No.
That is
no
a bucket way. List for me, though. I've always wanted to go on a bobsled run, even if it was halfway, because I know they do that up at Lake Placid. They take you down to about halfway, and then they run you from there. I do want to do that someday.
Mount Von Hovenberg
cool.
in Lake
That's
Placid.
Cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That is cool. That'd be cool.
I thought Kevin was more of a luger, though, Steve.
I was actually trying to get my son to do that when he was younger. They actually look for 12-year-olds. They do a scout process, and they invite you to Lake Placid.
Well, no, it's better than that. They actually, one of the great sliders, as they call them, and Steve, you may know this, is actually from Berwick, Pennsylvania. And
I had him on the show last year.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal guy, and he was recruited at a young age, and so the U.S. Luge Committee actually held tryouts in Berwick.
Well, Jason's mom worked for Verizon at the time, and Verizon, I guess, was a sponsor of the team, and they were looking for young men and women that were interested in becoming lugers, and he was at the upper end of the age demographic and ended up showing some signs of being able to do it. So Jason Turtleman became a luger.
And he was ranked in the top 10 in the world. Right behind about 14 Germans, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like a hostage on my own show.
Yes,
all right. Coming up, I'm like the rest of the audience. I'm just sitting here listening right now. We have a lot to talk about in the show, including the Kevin Herr memo. Some interesting stuff here.
There's good stuff there. I'm telling you, that is some good stuff today.
And there is a basketball game somewhere tonight in America, Steve. Maybe even Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, there is. And also in Lewisburg. We got Lafayette tonight, 7:30 the tip-off, 7 o'clock the airtime on Eagle 107 tonight. Here, the story is at 7 o'clock with a 6:30 airtime with Ohio State.
All Steve Jones Monday.
Should be interesting tonight. That's right. How about that one? Dick Girardi will join me. Yes, Joe Girardi. His brother will be with us. No, not the manager of the Yankees.
I was going to say, isn't he from Hazleton? No, wait, that's Madden. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Wrong manager.
Oh, my head hurts. All right.
Every day from 3 to 5.
They're running out of Advil at the store. We have a lot to talk about, including the sky not falling.